Salman Rushdie posted the following on English Pen. Religion, a medieval form of unreason, when combined with modern weaponry, becomes a real threat to our freedoms. Now, that's partly true. Religion has existed as a form of unreason well beyond the medieval period. To identify religion with the medieval period is very short-sighted. You know, you look at the Babylonian religion and its influence on that culture. You look at the Assyrian religion and its influence, the Egyptian religion, where in the Egyptian religion, there was no distinction between the state and the religion. None. I mean, absolutely none. The religion and the state were one. If you look at that, the ruthlessness that was Rome, there was no differentiation between the religion of Rome and the state of Rome. They're one and the same. And the imposition of Christianity as a religion occurred between 350 and 400 CE, well before the medieval period. And so, you know, if you look at the basis of religion, if you look at rabbinical Judaism, was started right around 100 BCE and flourished. Yeah, it was at its prime right around 130 CE, well before the medieval period. And then if you look at Islam, Islam was conceived in the 7th century. All right, so it's during the medieval period, and it was imposed on the world in the 8th century. Still within the realm of the medieval period. But just to define religion as a medieval form of unreason is unreasonable.
Kings have always bowed before priests. You know, the king bears a sword, but he bows before the priest, who has the writings. So the pen is mightier than the sword. So the priests have always manipulated the king.
Oh, yeah, if you look at even in Europe, Europe for 1,000 years was a blend of Roman Catholicism and monarchies that were established by order of the Roman Catholics who cut a deal with the monarchs. It says, you know, if you have a political institution, a dictatorial political institution, hierarchical, that authorizes only us, that condones only us as the state's religion, and you surrender to that religion yourself, and you impose that religion on all of your subjects, hunting down, torturing, murdering anyone who would speak against our religion, then, you know, we'll support you. That's how Europe ran for better part of 1,000 years following Theodosius, the Roman emperor who imposed Christianity. So anyway, he needs to be more accurate. Now, it is true that all religion is a form of unreason. That is true, that religion and reason are absolute enemies of one another. There is no reasonable religious person. You forfeit one when you accept the other.
Ben, Salman Rushdie stands with Charlie Hebdo, but he does so from an undisclosed location. A wise precaution that the people at Charlie Hebdo weren't able to utilize.
Yep. When combined with modern weaponry, becomes a real threat to our freedoms. You know, religion combined, and it's not so much just combined with modern weaponry. And, you know, when the Romans perpetrated their religion through their legions, their weaponry was modern for its time. It certainly isn't modern today. You know, it was spears and swords. And they were stunningly deadly. Rome was an absolute enemy to freedom. But the same thing was true with Alexander the Great. The same thing was true with, therefore, with the Greeks and the Macedonians. The same thing was true with the Persians and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Egyptians. So it's not modern weaponry isn't the threat to our freedom. But I would say that if he had been more precise, the greatest threat to freedom and stability in the world today is America's willingness to provide Muslims with weapons. There is no greater threat to the world today than America's support with weaponry to Muslims. I would say that is the single greatest threat.
And given that the fact that this could be turned on them or be undo them, so you wonder why the governments would do that. And furthermore, one wonders why the media, supposedly Jewish-controlled media, would want to perpetrate and perpetuate these misnotions if they were truly Jewish. Why would Jewish-controlled media want to support Islam and keep people from making the connection between the crimes and terrorism and Islam? But apparently that's what the media institutions are doing.
Well, beyond the fact that the media is not Jewish-controlled and that such conspiracies are absurd, the fact is that Jews, though, also have been self-annihilating for a very long time. When you can be critical of Israelites, so long as your criticism is similar to that of Yahweh's without being anti-Semitic, and particularly since anti-Semitic means against the name.
Right. Well, you said something the other week as a caller called in, and it was posing some pretty standard Mike Ribeiro arguments about Israel. And you cut him off and said something about, not wanting callers to besmirch Israel. And I kind of chuckled because I thought, that's kind of ironic because Yahweh employs his own personal cadre of Israel besmirchers. He calls them prophets.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and that's why I'm making the point that criticizing the judgment of Israelis and their loyalties and their procedures. But I am critical of Netanyahu even using the term Palestinian. I think it's counterproductive. I ought not even use the term. I'm critical when somebody is besmirching Israel because almost the entire world has turned against Israel in favor of the Islamic terrorists that wish to destroy it. Then I'm going to take the side of Israel. That's kind of the perspective there. But from Salman Rushdie's position here, he did bring out three points that have merit among a number of statements that really are misleading. Religion is a form of unreason, and when combined with American weaponry, becomes a real threat to our freedoms. It becomes a real threat to life, much less liberty. Then it goes on to say, this religious totalitarianism, and he shouldn't say this religious totalitarianism, he should say this Islamic totalitarianism, because there really is no religion other than Islam today that is sponsoring totalitarian regimes. And Islam is almost universally totalitarian. So why not disclose which religion is the belligerent here? This religious totalitarianism has caused a deadly mutation in the heart of Islam. No, it hasn't. No, that's not true. Not true. Not true. I mean, it's just flatly, that is absolutely untrue. Islam was born totalitarian. Muhammad was the de facto king, the de facto general of his new cult. And his cult was created to impose his tyranny. If you spoke against it, he had you killed. If you didn't capitulate, he had you killed. If he wanted what you had, he stole it. He created a religion, Islam, which means to surrender and to submit. It's defined as totalitarian. Muhammad's entire mantra for the first 10 years of the Islamic era, it began with the Pledge of Aqaba, which is where the first Muslims said that they would wage war against all humankind to benefit Muhammad. The Quran's 8th surah sets the stage for what would follow. It was the first terrorist raid Muhammad perpetrated once he arrived in Yathrib, today's Medina. And it was a terrorist raid where Allah not only condones terrorism and stealing and murdering and kidnapping and mutilating, but gloats about it. so it becomes the highest standard in Islam. So Islam was not mutated to be totalitarian. Islam was born totalitarian. The first battle after Muhammad's death, Muhammad was the undisputed totalitarian dictator of Islam. Then, following his death, there was a fight for control over Islam and control over Arabia initially. And so Abu Bakr fought the war of compulsion, where he forced everyone in Arabia to either surrender to Islam or to die. And then they imposed Islam on Persia. They imposed Islam by force on India. Then they imposed Islam by force on everything from the Middle East through Northern Africa and into Southern Europe. Totally and completely tyrannical.
Yeah, but you know, I'd suggest that secular socialist humanists don't want the bulk of Muslims to know this. They would rather emasculate or, you know, excise this. I think that they think that they can excise or, you know, muddy the waters about these actual historical development of Islam. They think they can, if they can get the odious stuff out of the way and just turn the vast majority of Muslims into a bunch of what you would call bad Muslims who are,
but
non-violent and manageable people who are ignorant and don't know what the books say, but manageable for the New World Order. You know, and they would rather just remanage, you know, just get rid of the threatening parts, deny the history, and then control the people like another bunch of sheep, you know, in the same way the average Christian knows almost nothing of their own supposed scriptures, you know, and yet they go to a social institution every week and they're very manageable, they pay their taxes, and they're non-threatening.
What did Yahweh say about those who are ignorant? My people are destroyed because they're ignorant.
They're destroyed.
Those who are ignorant find themselves victimized by those who are manipulating them. And whether they be hypocritical Muslims that are wholly ignorant of how ridiculous their religion is, how disgusting their religion is, or they're Christians that are lost in space and incapable of exercising reasonable judgment, they are being played for fools and being manipulated, and ultimately the consequence will be the total destruction of their lives and liberty. Salman Rushdie went on to say that I stand with Charlie Hebdo, as we all must. By the way, I don't stand with them. I'm not going to wear a sign that says I'm Charlie Hebdo. Much of what they published, and future programs will probably get into it, was disgusting. They made a toilet paper that said Torah on it, and suggested that it should be flushed down the toilet. The Torah. Fully have the right to say that. It's just stupid. Yeah, they were trying to depict religious books, and they had the Bible, and they're unable to differentiate, of course, between the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and the Christian New Testament. The Christian New Testament, most of it can be flushed down the toilet, but they weren't educated enough to make that distinction. Then they had the Quran, and then they had the Torah. If they were interested in Judaism, which was really what they're trying to poke fun at, it shouldn't have been the Torah. It should have been the Talmud. And if they'd had the Talmud for Judaism, the Quran for Islam, and the New Testament for Christianity, particularly Paul's letters, then that would have been educated and appropriate. So I'm not going to pretend like I stand with Charlie Hebdo, other than I think it was appropriate for them to publish cartoons of Muhammad depicting him naked as a sexual pervert, as a terrorist because he inspires it. I think those things are... And as a enemy of free speech, because he was.
So when they did that, did you send them death threats and things like that? And also, I saw a cartoon that I thought was absolutely hilarious. It was a picture of Muhammad stopping by a daycare to pick up his wife.
That's funny. I mean, I actually like satire. And so long as it's thoughtful, great. Anyway, he says, I stand with Charlie Hebdo, as we all must. Now, Wait, must? Why must? I thought he was advocating freedom against tyranny. If we all must, then that's tyranny, not freedom. Come on, Rushdie. Use your head. I mean, half of what you're saying here is nonsense to defend the art of satire. I'm not defending the art of satire. I would defend free speech, which has always been a force for liberty against tyranny, not always.
I mean, if you look at... I'm sorry.
Yeah, when he says has always been. Are you aware of the comics that were published in Nazi Germany and in the Soviet Russia depicting Jews?
Right. Yeah. You know, long-nosed monsters and,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and were those comics published to promote freedom, to disrespect tyranny, or in favor to reinforce the power of the tyranny?
In that case, I would say to reinforce the power of the tyranny.
Oh, of course. I mean, everything that he has said thus far has been half lie and half true. And there's so many lies mixed in the truth that this is... It's just amazing how people's ability to communicate accurately, to speak truthfully, has been influenced in our world, particularly amongst liberals. It says, there's always been a force for liberty against tyranny, dishonesty, and stupidity. Actually, you know, satire has also been used, and equally as often, to promote tyranny, dishonesty, and stupidity. Respect for religion has become a code phrase for fear of religion. No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Religious phobia, this idea of Islamophobia, has been used to discredit honest evaluations of Islam, but there should not be any respect for religion.
But it does seem that this supposed respect that people are shilling for Islam as a great religion of the world is really, I suggest, more so fear of this very thing, fear of violence being perpetrated against them. You know, like, what one might stand with these people in terms of defending their right to continue to live, even though they've done use this satire, whether it's in good or bad taste or good or bad idea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm standing with them ideologically, but no, there's the definite thing. I think a lot of people are afraid of defending Islam. You know,
I don't think so. I really don't. Yes, there are radio stations that have capitulated to Islamic threats, radio stations where the host became aware of Islam and spoke openly about Islam, and Muslims threatened to boycott and terrorize the radio station, and they capitulated. So there are cases of people capitulating to Islam out of fear of Muslims responding in a deadly way. But I think most of the advocates for Islam, when, for example, the presidential candidate, we're going to talk about him in a moment, Dean, came in to differentiate Islam from the attack, he's not afraid of Islam. You know, stupidity, the word that precedes this next statement from Salman Rushdie. He writes, respect for religion, in quotes, has become a code phrase meaning fear of religion. It's just not true. The opposite is true. Those who speak of respecting religion that would have you fear their religion are not those that he's talking about. Those that have been indoctrinated in political correctness through the Western's academic institutions have been indoctrinated to accept, to believe, that mutually exclusive things can all be blended together harmoniously, and that you can coexist when you define the nature of Islam and of Christianity and of Buddhism and of socialism, that even though socialists were at war with and hunted down to kill religious individuals, and even though Muslims hunt down and kill anyone who does not accept their religion, that all by this non-discriminating, non-judgmental view of multiculturalism, that they're all blended together as one, says that we shouldn't fear any of these things. We should accept them. We should embrace them. Rather than respecting religion is the code word for fear of religion, they don't want you to fear the religion. They want you to accept that all religions can be blended together harmoniously. It's not a fear of religion that it's a code word for. It's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
The whole concept of political correctness, it's a replacement moral code. Rather than defining right and wrong using evidence and reason, in political correctness, there is no right and wrong. There is no absolute.
Well, I would conditionally agree with what you just said. However, this idea that these contradictory systems can be blended, it's not so much that the ideologies themselves are blended, but that the people groups can be made to get along when they are sufficiently nominalized, when they nominally hold to a supposed doctrine or a culture or religion, but having a form of religion, but denying the power thereof, not really knowing the doctrine, not really knowing the history, just being,
correct.
Good,
that's the whole concept
people.
Of the coexist bumper sticker, the people that have it on the back of their car, are absolutely ignorant. They're completely clueless as to the nature of each of these doctrines and the fact that they cannot be blended together. It's only through a ignorant approach to these doctrines that they can be blended together in a world that coexists and is tolerant. It requires an absolute rejection of evidence, history, and reason. And so it's their inaccurate, incomplete, inadequate, and jaundiced revisionist view of these doctrines that they are promoting, as opposed to the real history of the religion.
It works so beautifully in managing people. It's kind of analogous to managing military recruits. You know what I mean? You get them to be violent when you want them to be violent. You get them to be peaceful when you want them to be peaceful. As long as they're they don't really care what flavor their ideology is, as long as they're doing what they want them to do when they want them to do it.
Yeah, and that's the whole point that I was making earlier, which is by Christians being ignorant of their religion and irrational, therefore, by Muslims being ignorant of their religion, and what it does is subjects them to manipulation, and they're being manipulated, all of them, in a way that will lead to them losing their freedoms, their lives, and their possessions. There is a consequence of being ignorant, and that is when you're When you recognize the purpose of political correctness, which was to indoctrinate people so that they could not be reasonable, so that they cannot exercise good judgment, they become ignorant. No matter how much they know, they have no understanding. They're easy to control, easy to manipulate. That's the whole purpose of taking over the educational systems.
Right. That's what the doctrine of linguistic minimalism is all about. Getting the people to be lacking in proficiency in the language so that they can't communicate. They can't problem solve. They can't see them.
One of the great concepts in this regard is democracy. How America engages in all of these wars on behalf of freedom fighters and Democrats when there is no democracy, when the founding fathers of this country were wholly opposed to democracy, when the only two democracies in the history of the world were oligarchies and they were vicious, and yet we've redefined the term to suit the goals of the elitists. And through democracy, they will relinquish. The masses will relinquish everything. You look at Hitler's rise to people. The people voted him into power. Through democracy, people will lose all of their freedoms.
Right, and that's precisely the way they want it. It works so well. Everything's proceeding according to plan.
Yeah. Then he goes on to say, religions, like all other ideas deserve criticism, satire, and yes, our fearless disrespect. You know, it is not only religions, but all human ideas deserve criticism, deserve satire, and they deserve disrespect. They really should, I would prefer him to say, religions deserve, have earned by their very nature, courageous confrontation. They should elicit the same response that Yahusha and Yahweh have elicited towards religion. You know, if you look at Yahweh's prophets, they bluntly denounced religions, and they did so using evidence and reason. And that's what we ought to be doing, denouncing every religion, and particularly the most vicious of religions, Islam.
Right.
But, you know, I'd say you need to also keep in mind that if you don't denounce Christianity at the same time, then what you end up with is a substantial population that's incapable of using reason to defend itself against Islam. I mean, Islam exists because Christianity manufactures unreasonable individuals.
Well, yeah, and strangely enough, it will be the more ardent atheists who would, you know, agree with that, as well as those of the covenant. You know, they would say, "Wait a minute," because it's funny. It can vary. I'm aware of atheists who can be both for and against, depending on their political leanings.
Yeah, I was sent an excerpt of an article that was published in the New York Times today that spoke out against blasphemy. And I personally, it depends on your definition of blasphemy, but if it's to blast, if you will, the religious ideals, I'm all in favor of it. But to this individual was not. But they did have one paragraph that was really interesting. And this is, I'm reading an excerpt from an article in the New York Times. "We are not in a vacuum. We're in a situation where this guy says my third point applies, because the kind of blasphemy that Charlie Hebdo engaged in had deadly consequences, as everyone knew that it could. And that kind of blasphemy is precisely the kind that needs to be defended, because it's the kind that clearly serves a free society's greater good. If a large enough group of someones is willing to kill you for saying something, then it's something that almost certainly needs to be said. Because otherwise, the violent have veto power over civilization. And when that scenario exists, it isn't really a civilization anymore. Again, liberalism doesn't depend on everyone offering everyone else's liberalism doesn't depend on everyone offending everyone all the time. And it's okay to prefer a society where offenses for its own sake is limited rather than pervasive. I don't agree with that. But when offenses are policed by murder, and when we need more, that's when we need more of them, not less, because the murderers cannot be allowed for a single moment to think that their strategy can succeed." The concluding statement is true.
That's why I said yesterday that I'd like to see the government affirm the Second Amendment, have more armed people out. When enough of these, you know, murder people who think that they can murder because they don't like something somebody said, get shot and killed trying to kill somebody else, then it may eventually throttle back a bit.
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Not in the nature of Islam. They want to die killing. But this is a powerful statement. I want to reread it again.
I'm sorry.
This large enough group of someones, he's speaking specifically about Islam, but doesn't want to say it. If a large enough group of Muslims is willing to kill you for saying something, then it's almost always something that needs to be said. Because otherwise, the violent have veto power over civilization. And when that scenario occurs, it isn't a civilization anymore.
No,
Now, that's the fact of the matter is, for all of these morons that made the excuse that Charlie Hebdo was doing it was like pouring, and this would be the United States and France that made this statement, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire to offend Muslim sensibilities. And when others have made the claim, like CNN and the media making the claim, they're missing the entire point. If someone is willing to kill you for saying something, then it's always something that needs to be said. That's just the bottom line here. That if you cower and are afraid to say something because the consequence of saying it is someone's willingness to kill you and that they are likely to do so, boy, that is something that needs to be said. If exposing and condemning Islam draws what it did in my case. I wrote the most comprehensive book ever on the five earliest sources of Islam. All I did is put them in chronological order and in the context of Muhammad's life, and I took the five most respected Islamic sources, including the Quran, and I presented what they had to say. And thousands of Muslims threatened to kill me. When you say something that causes people to want to silence you, want to object to you by threatening to kill you, what you have to say is important. Because the very doctrine that is guiding those from around the world to threaten to kill you is repulsive. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be condemned. That is why every politician that is differentiating what occurred here from Islam is actually aiding and abetting the most deadly and destructive doctrine ever conceived by mankind. The world is filled with stupid, ignorant, immoral weasels. Howard Dean is one of them. The name Howard Dean doesn't resonate with you. He was head of the Democratic Party. He was a Democratic presidential candidate. This is his statement, and he represents so many liberals in their views. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm attacking liberals from a conservative point of view. Most conservatives are as stupid as he is. They just say things differently. But former Democratic Party head Howard Dean objected to calling the shooters and the Paris attack Muslim terrorists, even though the attackers were witnessed shouting Allahu Akbar as they fired their guns. So you're not a Muslim when you shout the Islamic prayer fear. According to Howard Dean, he's never read the story of Kaibar. He has no clue as to where Allahu Akbar emerged in Islamic parlance, why Muslims say it, how Muhammad had the Muslim terrorists surrounding the farming community of Kabar shout Allahu Akbar for the first time. Why it is the Islamic prayer of fear, while Allah is only a god in Islam. He must have missed all that. Dean, speaking Wednesday on MSNBC, argued that they should be treated as mass murderers instead. Yeah, they're mass murderers. But what was the motivation? Islam. Did they attack a barbershop for trimming beards on the basis that they were rabbinical zealots? I don't think so. Did they attack a candy shop on behalf of diabetics because they were opposed to the manufacture of insulin? I don't think so. Did they attack a rival drug lord because they wanted total control over that region for their sales of narcotics? I don't think so. They attacked Charlie Hebdo because he depicted Muhammad in an accurate way as a sexual pervert, as a terrorist, and wholesale opposition to free speech. And they shouted Allahu Akbar, and the women that they did not kill, they said, dress properly, cover yourself up, read the Quran, convert to Islam. But this moron, the head of the Democratic Party, presidential candidate for the Democrats, said they should be treated as mass murderers. He said, I stop calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am, he said. What a total and complete idiot. And that's the kind of rhetoric that makes it into the liberal media. They're about as Muslim as I am. I mean, they have no respect for anybody else's life. That's not what the Quran says. That's exactly what the Quran says. Now, you have to wonder, has Howard Dean never read the Quran? And therefore, he's pretending that he's an expert on something that he has never read. Or has he actually read the Quran, which I doubt, and is lying? I mean, if you read the second surah, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth surah of the Qurans, if you read any of them, the message is still is simple. Kill for Allah and Muhammad. Torture for Allah and Muhammad. Rob for Allah and Muhammad. Terrorize for Allah and Muhammad. No respect for life. It says if a Muslim rejects their religion, kill them.
Right.
And this moron says that's not what the Quran says?
Well, you know, there's
no respect for life in the Quran. The Quran says that Allah controls everything. That Allah determines who lives and dies. That a Muslim who doesn't fight jihad and kill others on Muhammad's orders ceases to be a Muslim. And he tells all the Muslims that a Muslim who does not engage in killing for him needs to be killed by the good Muslims so that Allah can attend to their torture in hell. That's what the Ninth Surah says. So what do you think? Do you think he's never read the Quran and is pretending to be politically correct, enlightened, and as relevant? Or do you think he has read it and is just lying through his teeth? Those are the two options. Which one do you think is accurate, or does it even matter? We'll be back with Shattering Mish and with Glenn. Please stay with us, Glenn.